All right. Did that bless your heart? Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Joni. Thank you, praise team. Thank you. I was watching Randa over there. I just love to see Randa just get in it. Oh, my, bless your heart. And then I like to watch our little trumpet player there, Joseph, with his horn. He does a great job for us, I'll tell you. He surely does. Wow. God is awesome, isn't he? God is awesome. You know, there are things we don't understand. The 18th of May, we prayed in here with Jenny and Brittany on their trip to Peru. And where's Brittany? Brittany, stand up. Brittany's still with us. Passport got hung up in Atlanta. They paid extra to have it shipped in 2 days, mailed in 2 days, and it didn't arrive. It got hung up in Atlanta, and then when got to Atlanta, it was back here in the Ballantyne Post Office, of all things. Niece went to pick it up and get it and was going to put her on a standby flight. She had the first seat on the standby flight. A flight before that got canceled. Everybody off of that flight ended up on the flight that she was supposed to be on. I pastored a long time, folks. I don't have very many answers. The older I get, I stand on Romans 8:28. I know Brittany loves the Lord. I know Jenny loves the Lord. I know Joseph loves the Lord. And I know Gary loves the Lord. And I have to believe that everything does work together for our good and God's glory. I just don't have the answers I used to have when I was a lot younger in the ministry. Hello? Some of you will probably like me too. The older I get, I realize, God, you're sovereign. You're in absolute control. So I have to believe. Now let me tell you why I have to believe. Not only that, we prayed on Sunday morning, and by Sunday night she had a translator. Well, guess what? No show on the translator. So now Jenny and her partner, two ladies, are in Peru in a strange country that Jenny does not speak the language at all. The other lady that is with her has some limited ability. God puts us in a position sometimes when we have nowhere else to look but to Him. Amen? Any of you ever been there? If you haven't, get prepared, because you're going to be there. Psalms 118 verse 17 says, I shall not die but live and declare the glory of the Lord. Many of you do not know that this is the verse of Scripture that I shouted into Colden's left ear when he was in a coma in Lexington Hospital. I asked Roma to give me the names of some individuals that I could text after I text as many as you as I could pull up on my phone at one time, and to pray for Colton and to pray for the family, and she gave me the name of several people. Lisa, could I impose upon you to stand, please? This is Lisa Langford. She worked with Roma. Within 5 minutes, Lisa texts me back that exact verse of Scripture. And church, I want you to understand that we, and the reason I'm telling that today is because I don't know what may happen by the 29th. You need to hear that today. But we began to stand on that verse of Scripture for Colton. I agree with what Marion Miller said, what Leon said. I believe the doctors were absolutely right, because see, if God had just raised him up and the doctors had not been right, then it wouldn't have been as great a miracle. It's a greater miracle for his brain stem to have been dead, for his brain activity to have been almost negligible, and for God to raise him up and he walk in this service this morning with nothing but a cane. We're going to look at four individuals this morning. All of us are tempered different ways. There are the sanguines, and that's what your pastor is. He's a sanguine, although Roma is a more of a sanguine than your pastor is. Have you ever been around Roma when she wasn't smiling or wasn't happy or you didn't enjoy being in her presence? You've been around your pastor a few times, you'd have rather been somewhere else. That's understandable. A little bit of that German comes out in him every so often. She's lived with me for a while, and she knows that. And then there are the melancholies. They're the musical people. Leon has to be a melancholy. He just into the music. And then there are the cholerics. There are those individuals that they just have everything in order. And then there are the phlegmatics. They are the diplomatic people. And everybody that goes through my premarital counseling, they go through the temperament test. And Patrick and Elizabeth have recently gone through that in their premarital counseling. Twan and Abby did, and I think Michael and Jeannie did as well. Now, I didn't put Jim and Ms. Rosemary through that. Actually, I felt like they needed to counsel me. But there are also four basic types of people that we are. God has wired us with a spiritual DNA. We are who we are. He has created you to be that unique individual that you are. A big mistake that we all can make if we're not careful, we see somebody else and we want to be like them. Don't raise your hands if you've ever said to yourself, underneath your breath, I wish I were like that person. I wish I had the talents that person has. I wish I had the gifts that person has. I wish I had the skills that individual has. I know an individual, dear friend of mine, personal friend of mine. He is a multi-talented, multi-skilled individual. And for a long time, I would say to myself, wow, I would love to be blessed as he was. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, and we're going to look at a few verses in chapter 4 and verses 17 through 22. We're going to look at four individuals. We're going to look at Peter, then we're going to look at Martha, and then we're going to look at Thomas, and we're going to look at Mary. Peter is an individual that we would call the accomplisher. Last Sunday you had a message by Dr. Leon on dealing with your fear, doing away with your fear. And the drive in Peter's heart was so strong that he would rather be where Jesus was than to be in the boat with the other 11. What is your drive this morning? What is the energy behind your life this morning? What is it that is energizing you to the point that the passion within you begins to rise to the surface and you're not willing to accept the mediocrity of life? You don't want to be a mediocre Christian. You don't want to be a mediocre person. In chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the boat of the ship and their father, and they followed him." Peter is an accomplisher. Peter is that individual. He's that person that he approaches life and he is bothered by those that do not see life as he sees life. He's bothered by those that for whatever reason they seem to kind of draw back a little bit. He's bothered by those that are not as aggressive as he is. Maybe you've already figured out who your pastor is a lot like. His temperament is different than his brother Andrew. In fact, beyond Peter's conversion and beyond Andrew being mentioned as one of the 12, Andrew's not mentioned again. But Andrew became who he was supposed to be in order that he might reach his brother Peter, in order that Peter might become who God intended him to be. Does that make sense to you? Think about that this morning. Think about where God has positioned you. Think about where God has gifted you. Think about how God has prepared you. Think about how God is calling you. His life approach was simple. Let's get it done. There's a brick wall here. We're not going to go around that wall. We're not going to take time trying to figure out how tall that wall is or how wide that wall is. We're going through that wall. Let's get it done. Aren't you glad that there are people like that in the world today? Aren't you glad that God gifts some people with that ability? If you've ever been in a foxhole or if you've ever been in the military and there's a Peter out there, you're thankful for that Peter because he's not scared of a grenade. He's not scared of being shot at. He is ready to take the enemy immediately. He's ready to move forward. Peter was always looking for an opportunity. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. And you all know the rest of the story. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Lord, it's good that we're here. Let's build three tabernacles, one to you, one to Moses, one to Elijah. In other words, church, get off your duff and let's do something. You know, that's kind of what he was saying. Let's do something. Can I stop just a minute and say thank you? You are doing something. You're preparing a facility out there that will move you into the next years to come in this century in order to better reach the culture that's coming, that's around us. You're preparing a facility to engage the oikos. The oikos is your circle of friends, your circle of relationships, your circle of people. Peter was the kind of person when he walked in the room, you knew he was there. Yes, he was loud. Yes, he was boisterous. Yes, he was who he was, but that was his DNA. Sometimes if we're not careful, we hinge too much on the negative, as Leon said earlier in the service today. We look at the negative instead of looking for the positive. I have to believe there's something positive in Brittany's being in the worship service this morning and not in Peru with her mother. I have to believe that God is a sovereign and that God is in absolute control. If I did not have to resign and walk out that door and never stand on a pulpit again, church. I have to believe God made Peter's for a reason. He wired them that way. He made them that way. When Jesus recruited him, it was simple. Come follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. If you told Peter to do something, he'd just do it. He didn't need explanations. He didn't need a blueprint. He didn't need a manual. He didn't need the instructions. He's the kind of guy that lays the instructions inside and says, this is the job. Let's do it. And there has to be those kind of individuals. Jesus' answer to Peter was simple. Come. Come, Peter, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. Peter, come, and I'll help you reach your oikos. That relationship, that family, those people, those connections that you and I have every day when we stop at the grocery store, when we stop at the gas station, at the drugstore, or at Walmart, or Target, or wherever our travels carry us, we bump into people every day. The interesting thing in this about Peter is I never find Jesus criticizing Peter. In fact, that wasn't a characteristic of Jesus. I can almost hear Jesus saying to Peter, Peter, you were doing it. Peter, you were doing it. Some of you may have been where Peter was at some time in your life, and all of a sudden the cares and the concerns and the struggles and the trials and the things you're facing in life, in your home and in your family, became so overwhelming until you just backed off and you took your eyes off of Jesus for just a minute and you began to sink in all those problems. I can almost hear Jesus say, "Peter, Peter, you were doing it." We need the accomplishers. We need those individuals that's going to be on the front line regardless. We need to recognize that's who they are and let them be who God created them to be. Don't try to change them. Oh, but listen, we also need the Marthas. You know the story of Mary and Martha, the two sisters who had the brother named Lazarus, whom Jesus spent much time in their home. In fact, their home was kind of like his resting place that he would go sometimes by himself just to relax, just to rest, and just to gain some time and fellowship with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And the scripture tells us that he loved them dearly. That's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, if you want to look at that later. Martha's that assistant. They always live by the question, what can I do? How can I accomplish this? They work just as hard as the accomplishers. They have their own ideas sometimes, but they want to make a difference. And sometimes they get in the kitchen, so to speak, and they get hung up with pots and pans, but they are on a mission. Sometimes when we look at that story of Mary and Martha, we say Martha was wrong and Mary was right. No, 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 no. That's not what the story is about. The story is there needs to be a balance. You have to have the Marthas. You have to have those individuals. Sometimes they can become a little too concerned with issues, and sometimes they can be tightwads, and sometimes they, but listen, they value opportunity and they seize opportunity, and they're the kind of person when you ask them to do something, you never have to go back to them and say, "Martha, did you bake that cake?" Hello? Well, only tell them one time. They are also those get-it-done type individuals. They're those individuals that they value people. They seize opportunity. They accept a challenge. And they're usually very happy in their role. But that's their role. Leave them alone. Let them do it. They're sometimes referred to as the salt of the earth. Goodness to the bone, if you know what I'm talking about. It's hard for me to speak correct English sometimes. Where I grew up, good to the bone. Forgive me when I say bone. They're just good to the bone. You can just pick up the telephone, call them, and say, put the phone down. You never have to worry about it again. Don't raise your hand, but we have some Peters in the service this morning. We have some Marthas in the service this morning. Let's thank the Lord. Let's praise the Lord for the Peters and the Marthas in the service this morning. Let's stop and give the Lord a hand for the Peters and the Marthas in the service this morning. Okay. Sometimes they're a little dogmatic. And sometimes they can kind of be in your face. They don't really mean to. That's who they are. That's the way they are wired. That's the way God gifted them. We must have the Peters and the Marthas. But there's two more that we must have, and I want to talk about the male one first, and that's Thomas. Well, now, preacher, if we're going to do it, let's do it right. Listen, preacher, I need to see the details of this. My Peter personality just doesn't work good with the Thomases. I want to say, Thomas, just step out on faith, brother, and believe it. I guess nobody's like that but me. But Thomas had to have the facts. Any Thomases, don't raise your hand. Any Thomases, you want the facts. You were probably born, anybody from Missouri here today, lived in Missouri, the Show Me State? Oh, y'all heard that, haven't you? Missourians, they want to be shown the facts. Prove it to me. And the Thomases, they always have their facts to back up their position. Doesn't mean their position is always right, but they always have their facts. And the fact is, I won't believe unless I do what? See and what? Uh-huh. You got it. Yeah. It's got to be real. I'm not taking anybody else's word for it. It's got to be real. That's the way I am. Do we have any Thomases in the service? Don't raise your hand. Any of you know a Thomas? Married to a Thomas? Boy, it got quiet. One little chuckle. Are y'all into this sermon this morning? I think you are. I think you're understanding that God has made us a wonderful mixture for a wonderful reason and a wonderful purpose. So we need the Thomases. We must have the Thomases. Thomas had a rigid value system. Once he reached a conclusion, he was absolutely right. And he was sure that it was truth. Thomas decided that the only conclusion was to die with Jesus. He didn't accept opinions. He wanted concrete evidence. Unless I see, unless I touch, I'll not believe. Again, we Peters get frustrated with you Thomases. Understand that. I'm sorry. That's the way I'm wired. I'm that way. I can't help it. I can't change it. But you know what? I'm not supposed to change it. And neither am I supposed to try to change the Thomases. Because God puts the Thomases in my life to keep me from going, pew! So I have to have the Thomases to reel me in. I don't like it. Because I'm a Peter. Nobody like me. You might be married to Peter. And you might be tempered like a Thomas. Or you might be married to a Thomas and you might be tempered like a Peter. Now, I'm not available for marriage counseling this afternoon. At 3 o'clock this afternoon, we're commissioning a young man who has felt the call of God to go to Washington State and plant a church in the Edisto Baptist Association. His dad has his doctorate and worked in administration with the South Carolina education system. His mother has her doctorate, and she was the principal of a school until she retired. Now she's going right back to work. And Brock was at Clemson working on his doctorate. And God said, I've got a higher calling for you, Brock. And so this afternoon at 3 o'clock, we're commissioning him to go to Washington to plant a church. Why did I tell you that? Listen to God. Hear what God's saying to your heart. Listen to what He's trying to explain to you and show you. Hear His voice speak to you. Understand what He's calling you to do and accept that role and be who God created you to be. But then there's one final lady that we want to look at today, and that's the sister of Martha, Mary. Why don't we love Mary? Mary is just she's the alliance maker. She wants everybody included. Mary is the kind of person when we're putting the puzzle together, she says, here, you need a piece of the puzzle. Here, you need a piece. 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 And let's all put the puzzle together. She doesn't want anybody left out. Are there any Marys? Don't raise your hand. B Be thankful if you're married to a Mary. Be thankful if you're married to a Martha. Be thankful if you're married to a Thomas. Be thankful if you're married to a Peter. Because God has put that person in your life because that is the area in your life, whether you realize it or not, you're deficient in. Hello? Anybody listening? And so here's the Mary. And you know the story. They believe everyone has a piece of the puzzle. They want everyone to feel needed, wanted, and to be able to play. They want other people to succeed above themselves. They know how to make everybody feel welcome and wanted and needed and loved and encouraged and edified and strengthened and built up. Boy, we need the Marys. Because, poor English, but us Peters, we're just not quite that. You know, that's not really our gift. Our gift is let's go do it. And we Thomases, we want all the facts. We've got to have all the facts before we're going to act. Call it a lack of faith. Call it whatever you want to. It's really not a lack of faith. It's just the way you're wired. And then there are those Marthas. Remember, she's banging the pots in the kitchen. Get out of my way. I can do this. But let me tell you something. Once those Marthas get their mind set on a task, you won't move them. And you never have to go back and check to see if it's done. Are you beginning to see how we all need one another? Are you beginning to see how God allowed us each one to be deficient so that we'll need somebody else? In our fallenness, in our weaknesses, in our shortcomings, in our areas of where we are not strong and where we don't stand out, God brings those individuals in our life. And so there are the Marys. Mary knew what was needed, Jesus said, and she chose the good part. It'll never be taken away from you. What about you? What about me? Do I take time? No, Peters, if we're not careful, we won't take time to choose the good part. Because, see, we're going to get it done. That's who we are. And if we're not careful, we won't take time to smell the roses. Sometimes God slows us down, doesn't He? Changes our whole life. Changes our whole life. But He slows us down to make us understand what's really important. Yes, going through the wall, Peter's important. Yes, Thomas having all the facts is important. And yes, Martha, being in that kitchen and doing what needs to be done in that kitchen is important. But sometimes you only have one chance to stop and smell the roses. I can't believe I feel as good as I feel today because I worked in the yard yesterday. I'm not talking about riding a lawnmower. I'm talking about chopping with a hoe. I'm talking about raking with a long-tooth rake. I'm talking about digging. I'm talking about potting plants. And I had an excellent helper and assistant out there with me. And never grumbled and complained about anything I did. And whatever she suggested, I did it. Not because of who she is. And then I did. She fixed me a nice lunch. I didn't even stop to eat her lunch. She didn't even fuss at me for not stopping to eat lunch. Even my cat got tired and went and lay down. Followed me all over the yard like a little puppy to start with, and then finally he gave up. But, you know, what time did we eat? About 5 o'clock? 5:30? We finally sat down and we ate after I had my shower. And I started feeling cramps right back here. Now, Kevin Choi had us moving Tuesday night in the Daniel plan. Us young people were moving. And I didn't tell him, but I felt it right back there. But Kevin, I promise you today, I feel good, son. Thank you for loosening me up because I didn't know what was coming yesterday. And then Roma and I finished what we were doing, and I said, "Hey, I need to take a walk. I'm getting cramps right back here." And we walked down to the lake, and we sat and we watched 25 geese. And we sat and we watched a fish jump in the water. Don't know what kind he was, and my line is so old, I didn't even think about going back to the house and getting the reel and seeing if I could reel him in. And then we started counting, y'all, and I have never seen so many geese in one group at all. And then we watched the sunset. And I sat there and I took the camera and I took a picture of me and my wife. You got to stop and smell the roses. You're not going to pass through this life but one time. Do you hear me? And yesterday afternoon, I went to bed last night, and I woke up this morning. Roma said, "Are you hurting? Are you sore?" And I can't believe it, how good I feel. I really can't. Mary, you chose the better part. Now, I'm going to read to you. I don't want to insult your intelligence, but I'm going to read to you because this was mine and Roma's devotional yesterday morning. Numbers chapter 4 and verse 32, "You shall assign to each man by name the items they must carry." In the wilderness, each Israelite was given an assignment. No one was left out. Are you all listening? That means that every one of you have an assignment. From the youngest to the eldest. Every task was important. The life of the entire community depended upon each tribe and person doing their job. This was necessary if they were to dwell in safety and live in harmony. Together they traveled carefully, following God's lead, each person doing his or her part to tear down and to set up each tent, and each person carrying specific items. Can you think about moving that crowd through the wilderness and what it took every day? The logistics for them to function? Together, they watched for danger and were protected. Together, following God's commandments, they found the food and the water they needed. The body of Christ is designed to operate the same way. In God's wondrous plan, each person is completely unique in His sight. Within the body, each of us is assigned individual tasks, called to fulfill specific functions, and given unique gifts and talents to accomplish those tasks. No one is left out. I want to hesitate and say something here. The last thing Pastor Johnny wants is for anyone to ever feel left out in Dutch Fork Baptist Church. You are important. Every one of you are important to the mission and to the success of the ministry of this church. Yes, we're different. Let's learn to be different. Let's learn to be the way God created us to be, and let's not try to change one another. When we think about this truth, we should be humbled and grateful. When we realize the amazing fact that each of us is special to God, we more easily understand His plans and His purpose. This also helps us answer the fundamental questions of life. Why do I exist? What is the purpose of my life? How can I find fulfillment and meaning? The answer to these questions is remarkably simple. Listen now. Know God. Know God. Leon and I and the staff have constantly tried to keep before you God-centered, Christ-focused, Holy Spirit-led. Know God. Serve Him. There is something you can do. If you don't know, call me. I'll find something for you to do. In your bulletin today is a tear out. There is something you can do. There is a ministry you can be involved in. Remember the old saying, idleness is what? The devil's workshop. Submit your life to Him. Submit your life to Him. God, You created me. You have a divine plan and a divine purpose for my life. God, You have something, yes. Listen to me. I've said it to you since I've been here. If you're still breathing God's air, God has something for you to do here. This one word cannot be found in Scripture. You know what it is? Retirement. I'm sorry to disappoint you, young people. When God enlists you, He enlists you for your life. Seek His will and direction. Learn what task you've been assigned. Discover and accept and celebrate the unique gifts and talents He's given you. Then spend your life focused on fulfilling your personal destiny in His kingdom. Do the special task you've been given. Be faithful. Celebrate the fact that He loves you and that He knows you by name. Now, you all want to know why I didn't preach this sermon the 18th? Now you know. Because that was to be the addendum to this message. Joni, I didn't look at my notes very little. And it was delivered in an entirely different way than God initially, I thought, wanted me to deliver it. And I'm through, and it's 11:30. And you all have been sitting in hard chairs. And senior adults, I understand that those chairs are hard. And so guess what? Pastor Johnny has decided that he's going to be more time conscious. And let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Who said that? Amen. I want us to celebrate what God is doing. I want us to celebrate what God is doing in our life every Sunday. And every week, you all, He's doing something in your life, and we ought to celebrate it together as brothers and sisters. Yes, there are the Peters who are the accomplishers. That's who I am. And yes, sometimes I'm a little hard to be around. Just ask Roma. She, you know. But God knew what I needed. He gave me a Mary. He gave me a Mary that would love me through all my warts and my shortcomings. If you're Peter and you've got a Mary, get on your knees and say, "Thank you, Jesus." And yes, there are the Thomases. They want the blueprint. They want the T crossed and the I dotted. I've got to see it, preacher. Boy, we struggle with that. And yes, there are the Marthas. But listen to me. They're good assistants. Listen. All they want to do is be a part of what's happening. But they are the Marys as well. Now, every one of us in this room today, from the youngest to the eldest, is either one of those four basic temperaments that Pastor Johnny mentioned: sanguine, melancholy, choleric, phlegmatic. Or we're one of those four individuals that Pastor Johnny just preached about. That's the way God made you. Be who God created you to be. His DNA. Let's give Him a hand. Amen? Let's give Him a hand. Leon? The invitation is always open to those that have never seen Christ as their Savior. They've never come to know Him as their Lord and Savior. That invitation is always open. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. The invitation is always open for those that are searching for a church family, a place to belong, to feel loved, to feel cared about, to feel accepted, to feel wanted. And Dutch Fork is striving to be that type of family. And we welcome you to become a part of that family. Maybe you're here today and there is an area in your life that you desire prayer. We will pray for you. We'll embrace you. We'll love you. We will gather around you. We will stand with you through whatever you're facing, through whatever you're going through, through whatever you're experiencing. That's what we're here for. Yes, if you can slow us Peters down long enough, we will stand there with you. And we'll not be shaken from what we believe, but we'll stand with you. Stand and sing that hymn of invitation. Great is thy faithfulness.